get. We're going to go ahead and pray and get started. Father, we just thank you and we praise you and give you the glory, Lord God. Father, this is the day that you have made and we will rejoice and be glad in it, Father. Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the blood that he shed on the cross. We thank you for the finished work. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, the one you sent to teach us and guide us. Bring all things to our remembrance. Holy Spirit, we ask you to use us as an instrument to speak to your people. Let them know exactly what you want them to hear. We give you praise and glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Tonight, let's start. Let's go to our basic, one of our basics all this. As you know, we cover certain scriptures, Ephesians 2, 19 and 20. I need you to keep that in mind. Ephesians 2, 19 and 20, where it says, you're no more foreigners and strangers.
Does anybody know?
So, built up on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. It's one of the basic scriptures. Another one is in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11, where it says, and when he gave gifts unto men. He gave some apostles, he gave some prophets, he gave some evangelists, and he gave some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints.
5 to 90%.
And for the edifying of the body of Christ. And another basic scripture is in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's turn over there. We're going to read that, and then we'll get into our lesson for tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 28, it begins like this. It says, and God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, and diversity of tongues. So I just want you to keep those scriptures in mind as we go through these various lessons this semester. Those are our basic scripture. This cult of honor, what we're doing is reestablishing God's government in the earth. And so, and basically what is happening here, as we go through each one of those scriptures, we see what God is doing here. Let me give you some pointers here from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 12. It says, the names apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors, and evangelists, and their distinct anointings, mindsets and gifts create a network of relationships designed to bring the focus and priority of heaven to earth. Bringing the focus of our priorities from heaven to earth. Just remember, that's where we are changing that paradigm. We has been going from earth to heaven, but we want to change that paradigm. We want to bring it from heaven to earth. And that's why when Jesus began to pray, I always bring that scripture up. In Matthew, when he told his disciples how to pray, he told them to pray, our Father, which art in heaven. He said, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And like I said, I know we hear these scriptures, but every time we hear them again, God says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10, 17. So we hear him. And every time we hear them, they don't take it as a basic, everyday word. It's a fresh word. Every time we hear these words, these basic scriptures, they are fresh words. Every time you fresh, and God wants you to hear something when he recites them again. Leaders lead with honor by courageously treating people according to the names God gives them and not according to the aliases they receive from people. We've been given names. But God assigned us certain names. Over in Genesis, he changed Abram's name to Abraham. And so he gave him a specific name. Turn over, let's see that particular passage of scripture over in Genesis chapter 17. And when he assigned a name to you, there's an assignment that comes with that name. There's also gifts that's given to that name. Like if you say apostle, then he's putting certain gifts in that name. If you say pastor, there's a gift that God, a graces that God has put in that name. Watch how he does this over in the Old Testament. We're going to Genesis chapter 17. I begin reading at verse 1, 17 and 1. And when Abram, see what his name was then. And when Abram was 90 years and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect, and I will make my covenant between me and thee, and I will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. What did he say? He said, thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. So what he did, he put that anointing in him. He gave him a name. He changed his name from Abram to Abraham. And the name that he wanted him to be, want him to manifest in the earth realm, was Abraham, which say, you are now a father of many nations. So every time his name is called, people call him father of many nations, father of many nations. Let's look at another one. I just wanted to show you this, how God does things in Genesis chapter 32. Is another one. Over in Genesis chapter 32, beginning at verse 27. I won't read this whole one. I'll just read. Let me go back up to 24. And Genesis chapter 32, verse 24, and Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince has thou power with God and with man, and hath prevailed. And so what he called Jacob here was a prince. He changed his name from Jacob to Israel. And he said, thou art a prince of nations. So he made him a prince. When we on the New Testament, and we begin to see Jesus. Jesus told Peter. Jesus called Peter Simon Bar-Jonah over in Matthew 13. He said when he asked him, who do men say that I am? And he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Peter said, men did not reveal this to you, but my Father which art in heaven. He said, thou art Simon Bar-Jonah. You're no more Simon Bar-Jonah, but now you are Peter, which is a rock. And he told him, he said, upon this rock shall I build my church, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. So he changed his name. He told him, he gave him an assignment. He told him what he was going to do, and then he rechanged his name. Now, same thing with us who are in the body of Christ. God did the same thing to us. He gave us a name. And over in 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, one of the things that Jesus said, he said, if you be Christ, then are you a new creature. It said, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So what he done, he created us again. He created us new creatures. He put special gifts in us. And then he gave us an example of how we should operate in his gift. He gave us Jesus. He said, Jesus is your example. He says, built up on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So he said, now you are just like Jesus. You are, when Christ, you get, call him Christ, Jesus Christ. So if you be Christ, then are you new creation. So what Jesus did when he was here on earth, you are to take that name and do just like Jesus did when he was here. When Jesus was here, he said Jesus was manifested. 1 John 3:8, say Jesus was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. So we are here. I begin to see yourself in that vein, that God has changed your name. You are now Christians. You are a supernatural being. Our apostle called us supernaturalists. We are supernaturalists because we are, Christ is in us. God is in us. We've created in the image of God. And since we are created in the image of God, Genesis 1:26-28, and we have dominion. He said, I gave you dominion over all the fowls of the air. He said, I gave you of the fish of the sea and every creepy thing that creepeth up on the face of the earth. And he's saying, you go in and you have dominion over these things. And so what happened, as we know, that Adam gave this up. But through Jesus Christ, he came back and he gave it back to us. And that's who we are in the earth realm. We have dominion in the earth. And we have to begin to think like that. And so what God did, he came in and he developed, he put the church into the kingdom. And the church is to operate out of the kingdom and do the same things that Jesus did while he was on the earth. Jesus said, turn to Ephesians chapter 4. We keep seeing these same scriptures over, but the Holy Ghost keep bringing them up, so it must be a reason he's bringing it up again. So over in Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 6, he said, there's one God and one Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. He said, but unto every one of us is given grace, our gifts, according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, he said, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but also that he descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is also the same also that ascended up far above heaven, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, these are names that he gave us. He said, I put these graces in him. I gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Then he told him, here's why he gave it to again. He said, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, unto the stature of the fullness of Christ. So it's not something that's just going to happen. Even though we was created, we are new creatures in Christ Jesus, we got born again, we have to be trained. We have to be taught. And these fivefold ministry gifts are designed and have enough grace, enough gifts in them that they can train the body of Christ to do these things. Work of the ministry, perfecting of the saints, and edifying, building up the body of Christ. That's and so when we think of ourselves as Christians, we should be thinking along those lines. We should lead us lead with honor by courageously treating people again. This is one of my pointers. According to the names God gives them, and not according to the aliases they receive from people. They treat them as free sons and daughters, and not as slaves. And so one of the things the Apostle Paul told us, turn to Galatians chapter 5. Verse 1, Galatians 5 and 1, it says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. He said, behold, I say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. He was talking about the law here, but he says, stand fast in the liberty. Walk in that liberty that Christ has made. We are free sons and daughters in the body of Christ. God has made us free, and since he made us free, we should walk in that. Galatians 3:13, as Christians, he tells us that because you are a Christian, because you are in the kingdom, he said you have been redeemed. That's part of our rights in that name which God has given us from the curse of the law. And what we found out in the curse of the law, there are only three things that's in that curse. There's sickness and disease, there's lack and poverty, and there's the second death. So once we accept Christ Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we've been eliminated from death, meaning that the second death, we're going to heaven, we're going to live eternally with the Father forever. Also, sickness and disease, we've been eliminated from. Jesus said in Isaiah 53:4-5, he said he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, he said the chastisement of our peace is upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Done deal, already done. As a Christian, as we walk in this liberty that Christ has given to us, it's something that has already taken place, and we should begin to use that name. We are Christians. We are supernaturalists. And since we are supernaturalists, we should walk in the name that God has given us, and then we can begin to receive the benefits that Christ has given to us. We also say that we should act as righteous and not sinners. We have been made righteous. 2 Corinthians 5:21. You can turn that. The Word of God tells us that he who knew no sin, God made him to be sin for us, that we may be made the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians 5:17. So we are righteous. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Not our own righteousness, but what Christ has already provided for us. He did that on the cross. And that's why when he got over in John, he said, it is finished. Everything that we need to walk in this kingdom as free sons and daughters, as righteous, as healed, as prosperous, Christ Jesus have already provided for us in the kingdom. So once we begin to receive that name and take that name that Christ has given to us, then we can begin to walk in that which he's given us. He called us wealthy and not poor. Turn to 2 Corinthians 8. 2 Corinthians 8:1. All these are characteristics of the name that God has given to us. And so as we, like Abraham, he said, your father of many nations, when you're called that, every time a person called him that, then he knew what he was. I'm a father of many nations. Even though at the time he gave him the name, he did not even have an heir. He didn't have a child, but God called him that. And as he began to believe, he became, after many years, he became fully persuaded what God had promised him, that God was also able to perform. And so as we walk as Christians, even though we may not see manifestation of everything that God promised us as Christians, but we begin to accept it and believe it and receive that which God has given to us, and then we can begin to walk in it. Before we go there, I told you to turn to 2 Corinthians. Let me go ahead and turn that, and then I'll turn you to a scripture I want to cover because the Holy Spirit brought it up again. 2 Corinthians 8. Looking at verse 9, I like to cover this because when we who are in the book of Christ, we gets in an uproar over this prosperity message that we minister, and the gospel covers every area. The gospel covers every area for the believer, for the Christian. God put it in his word, and since he put it in his word, so when I hear a person, come against this prosperity message, as we have a money cometh message, then I get into a holy indignation. I know there's absolutely nothing in this world that we can do without money. And so if somebody's going to teach me how I can get money through the word of God, then I want to know how I can do it. That's, I'm in the body of Christ. So since I'm in the body of Christ, I need to know. And if someone teaches me how to do it, then I want to know how to do it. Here in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, it says, and looking at verse 9, it says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ." That's the favor, that's the anointing, that's the gifting, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. That was for us. That's for us who are in the He said he put that there for you. He came out of heaven. He came from a place where he had, you know, walking around on streets that paved with gold. But he came down here to do a work for the Father. And he said he became poor that we through his poverty might be rich. He died on the cross for us to have that and for us to be that as Christians. And so if we walk in, John 10:10 it says that Satan come to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, "I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly." If we're not having that abundant life, then something is wrong. We're not operating in the kingdom the way God set it up for us to operate. I'm talking about a supernatural, spiritual kingdom here that God has designed for his people. As, you know, just like, again, like he did for Abraham when he changed his name, he said, "Go to a place I'm going to send you." But you have to have faith in order to walk in that which God. Sometimes we can't see it with our natural eyes, but we are not natural. Even though we walk in the flesh, we don't walk after the flesh. We walk in the spirit. We walk whatever the word of God says. We continually change our mind. Romans 12, 2. We don't conform the way the world tells us to do. We're not conformed to this world. But we are transformed by the renewing of our mind that we might know what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And when God says, "I put it here for you, yeah, I can show it to you," but unless you study and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal it to you, you'll never get it. I got these scriptures, I got words on a page, but they just become words. They become natural to me. We're not natural. We are we're supernatural. I told you to go somewhere, but let's turn to Romans chapter 5. I want to see that, and then he told me to go another place. Romans chapter 5. As a believer, as a Christian, these are the things that the Spirit of God says should be happening to us. And like I say, through Christ Jesus, when he won everything back for us at the cross, we have to always go back to the cross. Jesus said, "If any man come after me," he said, "let him take up his cross and follow me daily." And as our apostle has been ministering, taking up the cross does not mean taking up that iron cross or that wooden cross that we ride on our necks. But it's taking up the benefits of the kingdom, what God has did for us at the cross. All the benefits that he provided for, everything that he provided for us at the cross, that finished work. And so here in Romans chapter 5, looking at verse 17, it said, "By one man's offense, death reigned by one." That's what Adam did. Adam lost everything that God gave. Adam was in the Garden of Eden, and God had given him everything that he needed to walk this earth in dominion. And so what he did, he gave it up. He committed high treason, and he gave up everything that God had provided for him. So now God had to find a way that he could bring us back into the Garden of Eden. And it was through Jesus that he did it. And then again, he gave us that new name again. He said, "Death reigned by one. Much more, they which receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness." That's that righteous. We are righteous in Christ Jesus. He says, "shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ." That's that cornerstone again. That's that, he says, that's that basic foundation, Jesus Christ. So we go through him that we reign. In him we live, in him we move, and in him we have our being. As Christians, we are now Christians. Once we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are now called Christians. That's what God, the name that God has given to us. Christians and benefits that comes with being a Christian. We don't walk in the natural. We walk in the supernatural based on what the Word of God is telling us. So as I was saying, that's Romans 5 and 17. We cover that scripture. I'll tell you what, while I'm here, let's make that our meditation scripture for the class. I always have to give at least one our meditation scripture for the class. So this will be our meditation scripture, Romans 5 and 17. Leaders also acknowledge their interdependence on the diverse anointings God has distributed among his leadership, and they are designed to function as a team that creates a funnel from heaven to earth. They are not independence. We are not, as in the body of Christ, we are not independent. We are interdependence. Every part is part of the body. When Apostle Paul began to teach us in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and one of the things he did, he began to show us some things. He said, brethren, he said, I would not have you ignorant of spiritual gifts. I don't want you to be ignorant. I want you to have some understanding of these things that God has given us. He went on and he began to talk about it. In that same scripture, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he began to tell us about being in the kingdom God has given us. Turn over there. Let's look over there. We in class, so we might as well study the Bible. And basically, if you begin to read and study the Bible will preach itself. It'll begin to show you things in the Bible. And like I said, we don't have to go to men. The Holy Spirit is going to show it to us what he wants us to know. And so, like I said, I read through Corinthians chapter 12, and he began to show things to me. He says, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, looking at verse 1, he said, now concerning the spiritual gift, brethren, he said, I would not have you ignorant. He said, that you know you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you was led. He said, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaketh by the Spirit of God, call it Jesus a curse, and no man can say that Jesus is Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. So we can't say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Ghost. And so we know that he's Lord. We say Jesus is Lord. That means that every situation in my life, he's Lord over those situations. And so as I know that he's Lord, then I can begin to operate in the supernatural the way God set it up. He goes on and say, he said, and there are a diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. Talking about the Holy Spirit here. He says there are differences of administration, but the same Lord, Jesus Christ is Lord. It works differently, different operation, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. He said, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. These are supernatural manifestations that take place in every member of the body of Christ can operate in these supernatural. Once you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can begin to operate in these manifestations. The Holy Spirit will operate in them. And they are for us, as we learn, as we train, as we begin to develop and mature in the things of God, they are for you to profit with all. They are for you to walk this earth, not as a natural man, but as a supernatural man, to have dominion over every situation. God said, the Spirit of God here says, to one is given by the Holy Spirit, the word of wisdom. In one of the classes I come in, I break each one of these down for you as you can see it. But like I say, these are supernatural manifestations of the Spirit of God. He says that to another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another, faith by the same Spirit, to another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another, working of miracles, to another, prophecy, to another, discerning of spirits, to another, diverse kind of tongues, to another, interpretation of tongues. These are nine super manifestations of the Holy Spirit, and they're given to every man to profit withal, that we can walk in this natural world as a supernatural being. And God said, I'm going to show you things. Someplace, you know, I'm going to point some things out. Something may be coming against you. I might give you a word of wisdom. I give you a word of knowledge that you would know beforehand that was going to come against you. And so he said, it's for you to profit with all. And then he gets into the natural. He talks about the supernatural. Then he gets into the natural. He talks about a natural body. He needed something for the individual who were in the Christ. This is Apostle Paul, the great Apostle Paul, who wrote two-thirds of the New Testament. And he began to talk to the Corinthian church. He said, now look at this. He said, I want you to see something. He says, for as the body is one, verse 12, and have many members. He said, all the members of that body being many are one body. We are called the body of Christ. And we all don't have the same functions in the body. Just like in the natural body, your members don't have the same function. Your ear is designed to hear and not see. Your eyes are designed to see and not hear. And so he began to say, so we have individuals in the body, and when we all begin to act like we see someone else act, if someone has been called to be a pastor, then a member should not act like he's a pastor when God has designed that individual to be a pastor. When God has called an individual to be an apostle, Apostle Paul began to say, he said, are all apostles? And the question was, you can ask, no, all of us are not apostles. God has himself never designed it. He said, God said, God put this in the church. He's the one who set this up. He's the one who established this. And so if we want to see the supernatural manifestation operate in the body of Christ the way God designed them, then we have to take those individuals. He who received a prophet in the name of a prophet, or he who received an apostle in the name of an apostle, receives a apostle's reward. Matthew 10:41. And so what he's saying, he said, if we take those individuals as the way God set it up, then we can begin to operate the way he set it up. It, just because we are not apostles don't mean that we cannot operate as an apostle. As we are sitting here and we are listening to the apostle, guess what's going to happen? He's training us. His anointing, his grace that God's put in him is going to come off on us. It's going to be imparted to us. And so the same thing that he does in the earth realm, we can do those same things. We are maturing in the body of Christ. We are developing. So they say for the work, for maturing, for work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. We all come in and we do the same thing. He goes on in this natural thing. He says, verse 13, he said, by one spirit, we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles. He was talking about the Jews, but we make it relevant. Whether we be bond or free, or have been all made to drink into one spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. The body of Christ is not one member, but many, 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 many members. He say, and watch what he say. He say, if the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not the a body, it is not therefore part of the body or not of the body. He say, because, you know, my feet is part of my body. My feet takes me where I want to go. And so, and so it's part of my body. I need my feet. And so every member is in the body of Christ. The body of Christ needs those members. You're designed for specific things in the body. And so God said, I need you to do this. And so the apostle might look out and he says, he might send you to just go over and minister. Go to the hospital and do this. And just give this person a word that's going to change their life forever. And see, that because we're all part of the body. We are not apostles. Apostles designed by God to receive from heaven what God, heaven, wants here on earth. And so what he does is like, I always say, it's like a funnel. And it's set up like this. So the power begins here, and it begins to come down. But it comes down over the entire body. When I go back and I look at the apostles, when God began to train those apostles in the book of Acts, what happened? We look at God said, he said, you know, they said the apostles going to spend their time in prayer and in ministering of the word. But he told them, look out among you and find seven individuals that's full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost that we can get to do these trivial things, waiting on tables, taking care of the widows and things like that. I'm paraphrasing, but that's what the Word of God said. And so what they did, they began to do that. And then we find out as we read through the book of Acts, we found out that was Stephen out there doing supernatural acts. He was doing miracles. Why? Because God had imparted through the apostles that apostolic anointing had come off on them. We find out Philip in over in the book Acts chapter 8 was doing the exact same thing. He was going out. He became signs and wonders. He became an evangelist. He was not an evangelist, but that evangelistic anointing came off on him. So he could do the exact same thing. So we who are in the body of Christ right now and see what God is doing as Christians and these apostolic impartations are coming off on us, and we can begin to do as we see show me your glory crusades, and watch God do these supernatural acts, see things that God, man is not doing. He don't even have to lay his hand on them anymore, but see him do them. Guess what? We're developing faith that we can do the exact same thing. Again, I already said we have enough faith already to do it, because we know we have faith. Hebrews 11:6, he said, without faith, we can't please God. So we know we want to please God. We gave you that script last week. You know you have that anointing. And so what the apostle has told us, when God shows up, the main thing we have to understand to do is back up and allow God to do what he needs to do. And when God set up his government the way he said he was going to do it, when we begin this lesson over in Isaiah chapter 9, he said, of his peace there shall be no end, where nothing is missing and nothing is broken. He said, the zeal of the Lord is going to perform this. God said, I'm going to do this. You don't have to do this. I'm going to do it myself. And so by faith, we believe that if we do what God tells us to do and begin to act the way God tells us to do, then that's what the Bible reveals in his word. We're going to begin to see those manifestations in the body of Christ. Let's look one more over here in Corinthians again. Let's continue to read here. It says, and if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not the body, is it therefore not of the body? My eye is part of my body. My eye is not sitting off over here somewhere. I need my eye to see where I am going. If the whole body was an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole was the hearing, where would the smelling be? And then verse 18, I want you to get this. I want you to see this. It says, and God, but now God has set the members, every one of them in the body as it has pleased him. Same thing in the body of Christ. He compared the natural body to the human body. And God is the one who takes individual members. After you come into the kingdom, he said, and God has set the members in the body as he sees fit. So if he calls an individual an apostle, if he calls him an evangelist, if he calls him a prophet, if he calls him a pastor, if he calls him a teacher, just remember it was God who did it and not man. Man don't send himself. Man don't call himself to be a pastor. Man don't call himself to be an apostle. It is God who sets those members. It was God who took my eye and put it in the right place. Just think if you had put it off over here somewhere. Then when I got ready to go somewhere, I'd be, trying to see a different way. It said God has set the members in the body as he saw fit. And so since he did that, the same thing. We are the body of Christ. And since we are the body of Christ, then God said, even if you come in and you sit in church and you say, well, God didn't call me to do it. He called you to do something. He called you to be a member. He called you to be a help. He called you to come in on a Sunday morning and usher in the presence of God by worshiping him. He said, God said, I inhabit the praises of my people. What you come in, you help create an environment so God can come in, so his presence can come in. And the individuals who come into the church, into the building, the congregation, the tabernacle, then they can see the presence of God, feel the presence of God, and then they can know they're in a different place. We're not in the world system. We're not in a earthly system. We're in a spiritual system, so God can see, our individual can see, but this is a different place. And so I can get freedom here. I can get relieved of my oppression. I can get relieved of my depression. I can get rid of my sicknesses and my disease because I feel something here. I feel the presence of God here. And since I feel the presence of God here, then, that's just, like I said, that's as a member of the body of Christ, we all designed to have a purpose in this body. And then that's when he got over, and then he explained the seven manifestations of the Holy Spirit. He explained the natural body, and then he gets over to verse 28, and then he says it again. He said, and God has set some in the church. He said, first apostles, secondarily prophets. He said, thirdly teachers. He said, after that, miracles, then gifts of healing. Guess what? His government is being corrected. His government is being set up in the church. And as that government is being set up in the church, then these signs and these wonders, these miracles, these gifts, these healings that God said are designed. That we all, you know, the prophets old. He said, where are all those miracles that I see? And like I say, from Adam and Eve all the way through Scripture, we see God, who is a supernatural God, doing supernatural things, everything that is in there. And so here I am, I'm serving this creator, this great creator, this almighty God, one who can do anything, one who's there's nothing is impossible to him, and I'm his son, and then I can't even get my knees bent, you see. And so so we ask the question, why is that? Are we doing what God told us to do? Are we following his pattern, the way he set it down for us? He's given us a name, again, as a Christian. And as a Christian, we are to have dominion in this earth realm. We are to walk as Christians. So we begin to develop that. We begin, Joshua said it like this. He said, what you do, you take this word, you don't let this book depart out of your mouth, you don't let it depart out of your eye, but you meditate it any day and night, and then you make your way prosper, you have good success. Joshua 1:8. He said, you have good success. That means as a Christian, as I begin to meditate on these things that the Spirit of God is revealing to me, and say, I suppose, you know, I'm going to receive this which God said. I know that Jesus has finished this work. I know that everything, all my provisions have been provided for through the cross. I know that he, you know, took on my sickness. He was wounded and for my transgression. And because of what he did, I am healed. And so when the enemy come at you, and he throw a deception, I call them deceptions. When he throw a deception at you, that's the only thing he got to operate. If you keep him where he's supposed to be, which he's supposed to be under your feet, and then you can say, you know, I'm reigning in life because of what Jesus did for me. And so we begin to do that. We begin to do that, and then we begin to operate in this life supernaturally. Let me give you some more pointers here. I got to that part. And in the safety and freedom that grows as his presence grows, lead us by developing ways to help people get along with one another in a free culture. This is part of the culture of honor. So, y'all, you know, they say, well, he didn't teach anything from the culture of honor. I'm teaching from, you know, as the Holy Spirit lead me, but I'm also giving you some pointers from the culture of honor book. If you know, everybody should read the book, go through it. Again, allow the Holy Spirit to reveal the book to you and what the author is saying, because it's an excellent book. Well, we're developing. It's called A Culture of Honor, how we treat people by the names that God gives them rather than by aliases that people give to them. We're going to get it as we get into this culture of honor. Again, we're going to find out that we actually are unpunishable because we're in the kingdom of God. But that's for another lesson. We have tools. They have tools for confrontation that are in line with God's given, people's God-given identities, and are motivated by the passion to protect and grow the connections that God is building among us. See, we're all a part of the same body, and we don't want to do anything to hurt the body. You know, if my hand walk along here and I'm walking, I hit the side of a building or something, it's going to hurt. It's not just going to hurt my hand, but it's going to hurt my whole body. And the same thing in the body of Christ. We all a part of the body. And when one of us do something in the body, it don't just hurt that individual or that member. It hurts the whole body. And so part of this culture is what we're going to do is find out that we are designed as the body of Christ to create a safe haven, that when someone fall out of their graces, out of their good graces, then we have found, you know, they can have a place to come, that they can get right back into right fellowship with the Father. We're gonna be able to see that as members of the body of Christ. One of the things I always say, the body of Christ is the only one that when the body does something, it's taken and kick the members to the curb. They just, you know, we treat them like they owe dirt or something. And God looks at us totally different. You know, he sees us as different. And so since he sees us differently, then we have to treat them the same way. Did you imagine a hospital? See a hospital. And a hospital is designed to treat sick people. But a sick person go to the hospital, and they go there and they say, because you're sick, I can't treat you. You know, and that would be awful. Same thing in the body of Christ. If a person come in, they have a problem, and they come to the sanctuary to get help, and we say, because you've committed an act, that's a sick person. Our place is to bring them back into fellowship, show them how to do it, and give them tools that they can bring themselves back into the kingdom, and that's called we call a safe haven for them to do. And that's the type of culture that we are trying to create in the body of Christ. That's what God wants. Jesus gave us that example when that lady who had been caught in the sin act. That's part of what we're teaching it. When she was caught in the very act of sin, and he looked out among them. He said, "You who have committed no sin." He said, "Let them cast the first stone." When they looked out and they didn't see anybody, everybody from the eldest to the youngest, they got up and walked away. And he said, he looked at her. He said, "Where are thine accusers?" And what did he say? He said, "There's none. There's none that accuse you. There's none that accuse me." And he said, "Neither do I accuse you." He said, "Go and sin no more." So our place is, as the body of Christ, to restore. We're going to show it to you in scriptures. And that's when I say that we have tools that we can help people come back to where they need to be. That's the type of culture we're trying to develop. That's called that supernatural culture that God himself designed for his body, for the body of Christ. We're all a part. We're all the members of the body of Christ. Leaders lead their people in extending the honor of the kingdom to the wider community, creating ways for our cities to experience the life that is flowing among us. We should have a certain life that is flowing in us because we are Christians. And so spread out, the community should be able to see. This community in particular, I think about that. God took this vision. We're like Christian Center, Ever Increasing Word Training Center. And he set it out here in the middle of the cane field. When I first came here, this whole area was basically cane field. But as the body came in, God's anointing, God's graces began to spread out over the place, and it became a safe haven for individuals to come and get under this umbrella of grace that God has provided for us. And so the wider community, everybody in the community can see what's going on. You know, they may not show up, but they can see, they know something is going on. And so that's what God wants us to do as body of Christ, as members of the body of Christ. We are a supernatural entity in the kingdom of God, and we are to reign and rule and have dominion in the earth realm. We're to show forth. We're to be witnesses unto Jesus that what Jesus did when he came. He gave us his Holy Spirit that he can help us do those things that we need to do. The clear fruit of establishing a culture of honor is that the resurrection life of Christ begins to flow into people's lives, into their homes, into their communities, bringing healing, restoration, blessing, joy, hope, and wholeness. That's that peace that he's talking about, where nothing is missing and nothing is broken. Father God, we just thank you and we praise you, Lord God. We thank you that the words that you've given us to speak to your people, we've given it to them, Father. And Father God, they're not just hearers, but they have now become doers of what you tell us to do. We give you praise and glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen.